From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin said health protocols crucial in thwarting COVID-19 spread. Indonesia and the United Kingdom signed MOU on science and technology. Now the news in details. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin drew attention to the importance of public compliance to health protocols to suppress the spread of COVID-19. Delivering a keynote address during a web seminar on the role of MUI EDIC in the COVID-19 pandemic period and the legal impact on Wednesday, he stated that now the public must obey the set health protocols based on the government regulation, the Indonesian Ulema Council EDIC, and the direction of the clerics. He also emphasized that disciplined implementation of health protocols is part of the efforts that all parties should prioritize during the pandemic until the COVID-19 vaccine is discovered. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin pointed out to the major role of clerics to call on and remind the public to comply with health protocols while conducting daily activities. The Indonesian and British government have agreed to extend partnerships in the field of science and technology until 2025. In a bid to support collaboration of researchers to improve the welfare of people in both countries. The continuation of the UK's Indonesia's partnership was marked by the signing of Memorandum of Understanding held by Minister of Research and Technology, head of the National Research and Innovation Agency Bambang Brojonegoro, and British Minister for Science, Research and Innovation, Amanda Soloway MP. In a webinar meeting held on Wednesday, Minister Bambang Brojonegoro stated that the signing of the MOU can be a momentum to become more productive in working and providing solution for global problems.
Pada hari ini saya akan menandatangani nota kesepahaman tentang kemitraan riset dan inovasi yang akan berlaku hingga tahun.
This memorandum of understanding will be a legal umbrella for the implementation of research and innovation collaboration conducted by research institutions and universities. Indonesia hopes that this cooperation can be used as a momentum to be more productive in working and providing solution for international problems. We are so happy to hear that the cooperation between the two countries has produced more than 2,200 international publications during the 2015-2019 period. In the future, Indonesia's target that the number of publications will increase and there will be joint innovation that the two countries can produce. Moreover, Minister Bambang Brojonegoro also stated that Indonesia is committed to developing domestic innovation capabilities and increasing research and development in supporting economic growth. The Newton Fund partnership has succeeded in increasing research and innovation collaboration in recent years that has also provided benefit for Indonesia and the UK. The Newton Fund collaboration model will be used as an example in the application of other international science partnerships. The extension of partnerships in science and innovation in the long term will improve Indonesia's capabilities to develop a knowledge-based economy and be able to compete in the global market. On the same occasion, British Ambassador to Indonesia Owen Jenkins stated that there are still many things that can be done to advance the collaboration based on the MOU for research and innovation. The next step is to encourage the commercializations of the research that has been carried out and how to make the research products in order to give benefits to people. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. President Donald Trump said on Wednesday that he is considering delivering his Republican convention acceptance speech from the White House after his initial plans to hold the event in two battleground states were fought by coronavirus concerns and health restrictions. As reported by APnews.com, the move of public property for partisans' political purposes. During a wide-ranging telephone interview on Fox News channels Fox and Friends, he said that it's easy and he thinks it's a beautiful setting and his side is thinking about that. It's certainly one of the alternatives. The Republican National Convention is scheduled for August 24 to 27, with Trump's acceptance speech capping the final night. As Lebanon reeled in shock a day after the massive blast in Beirut and counted the dead, nations around the world promised it would not be alone. As reported by APnews.com, French President Emmanuel Macron announced he would fly to shattered Lebanese capital and two plane loads on French rescue workers and aid were expected to touch down on Wednesday afternoon. Other countries were sending search teams stunned by the explosion that killed at least 100 people, injured thousands, and left smoking rubble strewn for blocks around Beirut's port. But the pledge of aid raised new questions for a country whose economic and political crisis has made donors wary in recent years. Investigators began to search the wreckage of Beirut's port on Wednesday for clues to the cause of the massive explosion that ripped across the Lebanese capital as the government ordered port officials put under house arrest. As reported by APnews.com, international aid flights began to arrive as Lebanon's leaders struggled to deal with the aftermath of Tuesday's blast, crippled by an economic crisis and facing a public where many already blame chronic mismanagement and corruption among the ruling elite for the disaster. The explosion at the port killed at least 100 people and wounded thousands. Hospitals were overwhelmed. One that was damaged in the blast had to evacuate all its patients to a nearby field for treatment. Buildings were damaged for miles around the city. Authorities enforced security restrictions in many parts of Indian-controlled Kashmir on Wednesday, a year after New Delhi revoked the disputed region's semi-autonomy in decision that set off anger and economic ruin amid a harsh security clampdown. As reported by APnews.com, officials lifted a curfew in the rest of region's main city of Srinagar late Tuesday, but said restriction on public movement, transport and commercial activities would continue because of the coronavirus pandemic. Government forces placed steel barricades and razor wire across many roads, bridges and intersections. Shops and businesses remained shut and police and soldiers stopped residents at checkpoints, only letting an occasional vehicle or pedestrian pass. Like many countries across the globe, Colombia shut down in March as the coronavirus cases surged in Europe and started trickling in the South American country, as reported by APnews.com. But while restrictions have been lifted in many places elsewhere, a nationwide stay-at-home order remains in effect in Colombia more than 4 months after being put into place. Isolation orders have been extended repeatedly as cases continue to rise and a limited economic reopening that began in April has inched forward only slightly. Colombia now has the 9th highest total of COVID-19 infection worldwide, prompting President Iván Duque to prolong the quarantine again until late August. The effects of the long isolation are beginning to surface in the capital of Bogota. The mayor's office reports that suicide attempts are up 21% since the start of quarantine. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here's commentary today titled Single Candidate in Regional Election. Elections will be held again in various regions in Indonesia on December the 9th, 2020. Based on data from General Election Commission KPU, there are at least 270 regional elections or pilkada to be held simultaneously. 9 regions will have elections for governor and deputy governor election, 224 regions for regent and deputy regent, and 37 for mayor and deputy mayor. The candidates in various regions had been hunting for political party recommendation to join the contest, just as individual candidates were still trying to get into the contest. Democracy at the local level is an opportunity for people to decide directly who will govern their region. Nevertheless, regional head election contests do not always run ideally. One example is a single candidate. This phenomenon had limited voters' right to have alternative choices for their region. Actually, the single candidate phenomenon has been quite frequent. In every regional election, there was a data increase on the single candidacy. Based on KPU's data, in the 2015 regional election, there were 3 single candidate pairs. Meanwhile, in 2017, there were 9. In 2018, the single candidacy increased into 12. Single candidate pair in this year's simultaneous regional election is also predicted to increase. According to Election Watchdog, the Association for Elections and Democracy Perludem, based on the current political dynamics, there will be single candidates in 31 regions. The cause of single candidacy is that political parties do not have carriers seen with high electability. Then, the political parties must use someone from outside the party. So, often happening is single candidate pair supported by some or even all political parties. Besides that, the 20% vote threshold at Regional People's Representative Council for regional election candidacy is too difficult. The high threshold can be an obstacle for many top cadres in every parties. In the end, they must support a candidate pair from other parties, although the vision and mission can be different. The other cause is fund. Some candidates do not have sufficient money to join the democratic contest, so they must step back from the regional election. The expectation that there will not be any single candidate in 2020 regional election probably cannot be realized yet. But at least, there will be efforts to prevent single candidacy from increasing. Therefore, political parties function that include means of political communication, political socialization, political recruitment, and conflict regulator must keep being run by the political parties so their cadres can have high electability in their region. Threshold needs to be decreased too, from 20% into 10% at Regional People's Representative Council to prevent a single candidate. To increase the threshold, the General Election Commission needs to revise the Regional Election Law No. 10, year 2016. And listener, that was today's commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is Today in History. In our regular program, Today in History, we start from an event on August 6, 1945, when an atomic bomb named Little Boy was dropped by a US plane in Japan. Little Boy was a code name which was given to a nuclear bomb that was dropped in Hiroshima, Japan, on August 6, 1945. This bomb was dropped from a B-29 Flying Super Fortress, which was called Enola Gay, that was piloted by Lieutenant Colonel Paul Tibbet from around an altitude of 9,450 meters. This bomb exploded at 8:15 a.m. Japanese time when it reached a height of 550 meters. Around 70,000 people died as a direct result of the explosion. The next casualties were also very many who died from nuclear fallout and cancer due to nuclear radiation. Pregnant mothers lost their children, or their children were born with a disability. Little Boy was the first of 2 nuclear bombs ever used in the Second World War. Thank you. Next event was in 1997. Korean Air Flight 801 crash. Korean Air Flight 801 crash on August 6, 1997 at Antonio B. Won Pat International Airport in Guam, a region in the Pacific region that belongs to the United States. Flight 801 was scheduled to fly on August 5 and 6 to carry Guam athletes to the American Samoa island of the South Pacific for mini games. 228 people died in this accident. The last event was in 2009, the death of W.S. Rendra. Willy Brodus Surendra Broto Rendra, or popularly known as W.S. Rendra, is a famous writer who got the nickname The Peacock. Rendra's poem was successfully published to the mass media for the first time in Siyasat magazine in 1952. After that, his poems flowing smoothly appeared in other magazines, especially magazines in 1960s and 1970s. Well, listener, that's Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Ku ingin tahu, kau harus mau. Ku ingin kau begitu agar kau tahu. Jadilah engkau milikku selalu utuh. Tanpa tersentuh, cuma aku. Bila ku mati, kau juga mati. Walau tak ada cinta sehidup semati, jadilah engkau milikku selalu. Tanpa tersentuh, cuma aku. Mengapa aku begini? Jangan kau pertanyakan. Bila ku mati, kau juga mati. Tak ada cinta sehidup semati. Jangan kau kau juga mati. Walau tak ada cinta, sehidup semati.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Aceh Province Expanding Mangrove Forest Area. Aceh Provincial Government will continue to expand the mangrove forest area because the existence of these plants is very important and becomes the source of the community's economy. That was said by Acting Governor of Aceh, Nova Iriansyah, in Aceh Besar on Tuesday, August 4, after symbolic planting of mangroves in commemoration of World Mangrove Day. The event was also attended by Director General of Conservation of Natural Resources and Ecosystems of Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Wiratno, and Head of the Aceh Forestry Environment Service, Syahrial. In the mangrove planting centered in Lam Duron Village, Pekanbada District, Aceh Besar, Nova Iriansyah said the area of mangrove forest in the province reached 28,000 hectares. Most of them are located on the east coast of Aceh. Nova Iriansyah said, the condition of mangrove forest in the western tip of Indonesia's region is relatively good. The Aceh government is also trying to prevent the mangrove forest by implementing a program to replant the damaged forest areas. According to Iriansyah, increasing the area of mangrove forest is very important, since the existence of these mangrove plants is a source of livelihood for coastal communities. In addition, the existence of mangrove forest can also prevent abrasion to dampen tsunami disaster. Therefore, the existence of mangrove forest must be continuously socialized to future generations. Regarding the commemoration of World Mangrove Day, Nova Iriansyah also said that this activity is an important step in saving and preserving mangrove forests, especially in Aceh Province. On the same occasion, the Director General of Conservation of Natural Resources and Ecosystems of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Wiratno, stated that the damage to mangroves in Indonesia reached 18% of the total area of 3 million hectares. There are various causes of damage to mangrove forests, among others, used as shrimp ponds, illegal logging, or it is turned into oil palm plantations. Wiratno moreover explained that the Ministry of Environment and Forestry carries out restoration of 1,000 hectares of mangrove forest every year. However, community participation is needed in restoring the mangrove forest. Therefore, the ministry continues to encourage communities, especially those who live on the coast, to create and develop sustainable mangrove forest. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Jabat tanganku mungkin untuk yang terakhir kali kita berbincang tentang memori di masa itu. Peluk tubuhku, usapkan juga air mataku. Kita terharu seakan tiada bertemu lagi. Bersenang-senanglah, karena hari ini yang kan kita rindukan di hari nanti. Sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Senang-senanglah, karena hari ini yang kan kita banggakan di hari tua. Oh, sampai jumpa kawanku, semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Sampai jumpa kawanku, semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Bersenang-senanglah, karena hari ini yang kan kita rindukan di hari tua. Oh, sampai jumpa kawanku, semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Sampai jumpa kawanku, semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Da 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 da. Mungkin diriku masih ingin bersama kalian, mungkin jiwaku masih haus sanjungan kalian.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to invite you to visit Yogyakarta. Stay tuned. Listener, Kulon Progo is one of the regencies in the west of Yogyakarta. Its location is 29 kilometers from downtown Yogyakarta. This regency is now frequently visited by tourists because Kulon Progo is considered to have a complete tourist attraction. The regency offers natural attractions such as tea plantations, waterfalls, and beaches. In today's edition of four segments of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you to one of Kulon Progo's tourist objects, namely Kedung Pedut Waterfall. The superiority and uniqueness of this Kedung Pedut waterfall lies in the source of the spring that comes from inside of the earth that never runs out and dry up. Therefore, Kedung Pedut is also called the heaven water of Kulon Progo. Kedung Pedut Waterfall is located 16 kilometers from downtown Wates, Kulon Progo. To enter this tourism site, you must pay a ticket of 10,000 rupiah per person. Then you will immediately feel the coolness and beautiful of Kedung Pedut because this tourism object has many shady trees. Arriving at this tourist attraction, you can enjoy the freshness of the water in the available pools. Besides playing water, you can take pictures with beautiful backgrounds of Kedung Pedut Waterfall. This waterfall park also offers a variety of interesting photo spots, ranging from miniature of helicopter parked on the side of the bathing pool and hammocks hangs on between the trees. On the hammock, you can relax by enjoying views of the waterfall park from the height. For those who like adrenaline-boosting activities, you can also try flying fox. This flying fox has a track with 40 meters long. Riding this flying fox, you will feel the experience of gliding on the bathing pool and see the waterfall from the height. This tourism object is already equipped with parking space, restaurant, and bathroom facilities. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Kan menunggu.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we are going to present you information on the check BPOM products buy online. Listeners, when buying products, especially through online, it is important to know the legality and health safety of the products. Probably, some products have the BPOM logo, but there are some products without the BPOM logo. Therefore, the Food and Drug Supervisory Agency, or BPOM, has made the BPOM check application and the check bpom.go.id website to protect consumer safety from hazardous chemicals. Of course, it makes it easy for consumers to know whether the product is safe or not to be consumed or used in the body. Requirements to check products are relatively easy. Consumers only need to input the registration number, product name, brand, until name of the registrant, so consumers can already know whether the product has been officially registered or not on the official website of the BPOM. The easiest way when checking the BPOM number of a product is to check based on the brand or product name. Meanwhile, if the BPOM number is already printed on the product packaging, the consumer only needs to match the validity of the product information, because there are also some products that have fake BPOM number, but the products are still circulating at the market. Consumers who find facts of forgery in the field can immediately report to the BPOM, so the case is immediately followed up. Of course, there are some data which must be filled by the consumer, such as identity of the consumer, filing of the complaint, product acquisition address, until uploading the evidence of the product, which is suspected of being dangerous. To conduct the complaint, the consumer can visit website ulpk.pom.go.id. Just click the menu complaining form. That was our segment miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Ada sesuatu yang ingin aku katakan kepadamu, matahari jiwaku. Setelah sekian bersama kita berdua memadu asmara. Kini tiba waktunya ku mengutarakannya padamu. Oh, oh.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to music corner. Today we will present a pop song entitled Risau. The song Risau, which was created by Cecep AS, sung by Ahmad Albar in 1983, on an album entitled Risau. In 1984, the song Risau was recycled by Atik Sibi. This song tells about someone's doubt and worrying to their journey of love, whether it will end with happiness or sadness. In 2007, Melly Goeslaw released her fourth album titled Mind Soul, which contains her own hit songs. On the album, Melly also dedicated the song Risau. Listener, let's listen to Melly Goeslaw with her song Risau. Enjoy the song.
Jujuranmu kepadaku sedikit apa Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Alright listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia and send us email on voi@voinews.id.